Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. I was impressed with those two songs that we sang. The first one, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. You know, there's a power that we have through Jesus Christ that's greater than the powers of darkness. And then the second song we sang various times over, I intend to go through with him. My heart is so happy in Jesus my Lord, no clouds can my faith in him dim. I intend to go through with him. I trust that's our desire this morning, that we are sold out for God and that we intend to go all the way with Christ. This morning for a message, I don't have something real positive. I want to look at the spiritual warfare, particularly focusing on the occult. Ephesians 6 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The purpose of this message is not to scare you. It's not to make you feel intimidated by the powers of darkness that are all around us. But it's to help us see the very real spiritual battle that is taking place every day between the forces of evil and the kingdom of God. I heard Brother Lukey say in his devotional, this warfare, the warfare that Christians are engaged in against the powers of darkness, requires carefulness and commitment. That stood out to me. Secondly, I'm burdened that we be aware of many of the practical and seemingly harmless ways that we can be affected by the occult. There's much out there that has occult symbolism. It could be a physical object, could be erroneous thinking or practices. But whatever it is, the devil is trying to get a foothold in the life of the Christian, in whatever way he can. I'm going to read a few verses here in the outstart. Later, I'd like to just let the scripture speak to us. We're going to turn to a number of scriptures. But in thinking about the devil and how he tries to ensnare us, my mind goes to 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Another verse in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is talking about false teachers. And in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So some of the things that I mentioned this morning, we will recognize them right away as the roar of the devil. Clearly something to stay away from. There are, however, some things that perhaps are more subtle and things that appear to be more innocent that I feel we do well to consider and to think about. I want to be balanced in this message. I don't want to portray in any way the idea that there's a witch behind every bush just waiting to destroy us in some way. I believe that Well, first, Titus 1:15 says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, unto them that are defiled and unbelieving there is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." I believe in the keeping power of God, the protection that we can have as we abide in Christ. John 10, verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." On the other hand, however, I don't feel we should be oblivious to the devil and his methods. We can't just be careless about what we will allow in our homes and in our lives, thinking that God will keep us from the devil's harm. There needs to be a balance. And I wish to be balanced this morning in this message. The verse we just read from John, I believe, is conditional. It says, "We will never perish, and no man will pluck us out of the Father's hand." That is, as long as we do our part, that of keeping ourselves pure and unspotted from the world. So you see, it takes a vigilance. It takes a daily commitment. It takes separation from all that is of Satan and the occult. We do well to be aware of things that are the works of the devil. We can't afford to even become just a little tainted by what the devil has to offer. I would rather err on the side of being too cautious than to take the risk of having the devil gain a foothold by one of his tactics. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15 says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate." I heard in the devotional, and appreciated that devotions that we had, about this clear line of separation. Christ is, and his kingdom is on one side, the devil and his kingdom, the works of the devil, is on the other side. There's no intermingling, there's no mixing of the two kingdoms. First main point, I'd like to look at the religious significance of the occult. This is a quote, goes like this: "When witchcraft is practiced as a religion, it is called by the Old English term for witch, Wicca. This term is used to counter all the negative stereotypes that society has given witchcraft. Wicca is primarily a religion that worships nature and sees all creation as sacred. In fact, all Wiccan holy days follow the cycles of nature and the changes in the seasons. Wicca also worships both a male and female deity, a female goddess and a male god, who had together created the world and everything in it." Another quote reads like this: Spells are used by Wiccans and are a series of rituals and prayers that are conducted in witchcraft to ask for divine help in a certain aspect of life." This Wiccan religion, I understand, is a recognized religion by the government. It is also gaining popularity in the United States. Although it's not exactly known just how many practicing witches there are, what most sources agree on, however, is that Wicca is the fastest growing religion in America, and the number of Wiccans is doubling every year. These are simply facts that I gleaned in my studies. How accurate they are, I don't know. But those are some of the quotes that I came up with. The theme of the Wiccan religion is, if it does no harm, do your own will. Secondly, they believe in a threefold law. That law states that everything that you do comes back to you threefold. For that reason, Wiccans, people that practice this religion, usually do not cast negative spells on people. Because of this rule, they're worried about the threefold bad that'll come back to them. They're generally, how would you say, in quotes, good people as they practice this religion. There's nothing good about it, obviously, but they aren't the type to be highly aggressive, I guess you might say. Wiccans, actually, their religion is wide open. A person can believe about anything he wants to believe. In fact, one of the facts, as I studied this, one of the facts I read said that there's as many different variations of the Wiccan religion as there are people in that religion. It's also a somewhat secretive. It's somewhat secretive in nature. The Wiccan people meet in small groups, and they meet in usually in homes, not in public buildings. These small groups are called coves. A verse from 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The Bible is clear that wickedness is going to abound, and it's going to get worse and worse. And it's one of the signs of the end times that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let's talk about the popularity of the occult. There's so many different things, different areas of life that's infiltrated by the occult. One would be books. Nearly every major bookstore has a section on the occult. And some bookstores are devoted entirely to the occult. There are some specific books, such as the Harry Potter series and The Lord of the Rings, that, in brief, these books, I believe, portray a wizarding world in parallel with the real world, which contains magical visions of the ordinary elements of life. Harry, for example, in the Harry Potter series, at age 11, he discovers he's a wizard. And he's a wizard living among ordinary world of non-magical people called muggles. And Harry, at one point, is depicted as having a lightning-shaped scar on his forehead after having a spell cast on him by dark wizard Lord Voldemort. In summary, I believe these books are introducing the reader to the occult. The devil is using these books as a tool to indoctrinate minds of masses of people. The Lord of the Rings is one of the top-selling books. As of 2007, approximately 150 million copies were sold. Obviously, there's many, many other books, I believe, that come into that category. Those are some of the books that, as Christians, I definitely think we should have no parts of. However, to some, these books are actually viewed as religious or Christian novels. But it is, clearly in my mind, it is part of the occult and the program of Satan. Magazines is another one. We all know grocery checkout lanes have magazines that are not something that, as Christians, we should even pick up and look at. Lots of them promote psychic and all kinds of occult practices. There's games. The toy or game section in stores often sell occult games, the Ouija board, Dungeons and Dragons, or other similar fantasy games. Also, computer games. There's many popular computer games involving witches, sorcerers, demons, and occult powers of all kinds. Often players role play or pretend they are these occult characters. Television and movies, again, is a major method for the devil and his works in the occult. Even in children's cartoons, many children cartoon type videos or shows on television feature occult powers, speak of witches and sorcerers and demons, etc. Music. Many popular recordings artists, many popular recording artists are personally involved in sorcery, witchcraft, and Satanism. And the songs involve aspects of the occult. Album covers often portray occult and satanic symbols. Education. Many colleges and universities teach courses discussing the occult. And even high school and grade school texts may contain references to witchcraft and the occult. The New Age movement consists of people involved in occult and pagan religions. Medical practices. And we're speaking here of medical practices that don't have scientific explanation. Reflexology, iology, acupuncture, homeopathic medicines. And the list could go on, I'm sure. One of the things that led me to this subject was here in about a month, we have what the world celebrates as Halloween. Halloween, sometimes referred to as the Devil's Day. Halloween is one of the four major Sabbaths celebrated by the modern Wiccan religion. It is by far the most popular and important of the eight that are observed. Witches regard Halloween as New Year's Eve, celebrating it with sacred rituals. It is believed that the veil between the spiritual and material worlds is the thinnest this time of the year. Some of the occult practices that take place are animal and human sacrifice, rituals involving blood, and the drinking of it. Notice the word Halloween contains the root word hallow. Hallow means holy. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:9, we pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The name hallowed belongs to Jesus Christ. It belongs to God the Father. It is no accident that the name of history's most hellish night, glorifying death and hell, wears God the Father's holy name of Hallow. The blasphemous name of Hallow clearly bears the fingerprint of Lucifer, as found in Isaiah 14:12. I will be like the Most High. Occult symbols. There's various occult symbols. One of them being the all-seeing eye. It's a drawing of a single eye with a slit for the pupil, sometimes depicted as illuminated with light, rays of light around it. The all-seeing eye represents the omniscience of Lucifer watching over the world as he carefully brings all people under his control in the New World Order. Isaiah 14:12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" The name Lucifer means shining light. And as I said, the all-seeing eye is depicted at times with light rays around it. This symbol can be found in places such as tags on T-shirts, printed on T-shirts, on skateboards, and the like. It's also found in business logos such as CBS News, AOL, Logitech, just to name a few. It also appears on the symbol of the Masonic lodges. Another occult symbol is the pentagram. The pentagram is a five-pointed star. Currently, the most common religious uses of the pentagram are by Wiccan and neo-pagan groups. Also, in this list of the way the devil manifests his works, I put water witching. Water witching, or also sometimes called dousing. Water witching, I believe, is of the devil. The very name helps us to define it and place it in that category. I can say, though, that I have not always been real strong on where this needs to be placed. Whether this is in the devil's camp or not, but I am now, after doing some study, and I have a testimony I'd like to relate to you, I strongly feel that this is of the devil, and it's part of divining or divination. We'll talk about that just a bit later. Wikipedia says about dowsing, "Dowsing is a type of divination employed in attempts to locate groundwater, buried metals or ores, gemstones, oil, gravisites, and many other objects and materials without the use of scientific apparatus. Dowsing is considered a pseudoscience, and there is no scientific evidence that it is any more effective than random chance." I'd like to relate a testimony of two Christian brothers. These brothers were new Christians. They recently accepted the Lord as Savior of their lives, and they were grappling with whether or not this idea of water witching was of the devil or not. And so they're praying about this, and they're asking the Lord for direction. And they learned that their employer had hired a water witcher to a job site to locate water for a well. So the brothers right away say, "Okay, Lord, this is your opportunity to show us whether water witching is of the devil or not. So these brothers prayed about this, that God would show them if this water witching is of the devil or not. So these brothers are on the job site. They're in the house, drywallers or whatever they were. And this water witcher shows up. And he starts to go across the property with his hickory stick. And, of course, these brothers are very much interested what's happening outside. So they're watching. And eventually, after a while, this water witcher comes to the job foreman and says, I don't understand, but it's not working. This never happened to me before. It just is not working. The brothers heard that, and they came out, and they started to testify for the Lord, and they said how that they prayed, and they asked God for direction in relation to water witching, and they gave their testimony. And the property owner walks up and says, he says, hey, I got a problem. I need a well. Where are you going to put this well? So the brothers weren't particularly prepared for that, but they said, okay, give us 5 minutes. They went back into the house, and they got on their knees, and they prayed, and they asked God. They thanked God for showing them where water witching belonged, and they also asked God to show his will and to reveal to them where the well should be. So the two brothers walked back out of the house. The one brother, on his way, he picks up his stick and he's praying. He says, Lord, you show me where should we put this well? And the same voice just told him, let's put it right over here. Put it in the ground right here. So he took the stake. He put the stake in the ground. They told the well driller, there it is. You drill the well there. Don't move 1 inch to the left or to the right. Put your bit right where that stake is. They drilled the well, and a few days later, they had crystal clear water. Water witching or dowsing, as I mentioned, is a type of divining or divination. And divination or divining simply is the practice of seeking knowledge of the future or of unknown events by supernatural means. So when man wants to know something about the future or has a question about something that is beyond his ability to find out, if he turns to the supernatural powers of darkness to find that answer, he is divining. It's a divination. That to me is clearly where water witching belongs. Furthermore, there's the pendulum. The pendulum can be used. Oftentimes, it's a string of some type with maybe a ring tied to the end of it. It can be held above a map to determine where somebody is that is lost, maybe to determine where water is or minerals, by holding this thing over the map and it, you know, swings in a certain way, you figure out where these things are. And also can be used to answer, I believe, about most any question you have. Again, that is divining. You're seeking knowledge of the future or about questions that you have from supernatural power. I'd like us to turn to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18 speaks about divining. Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. I'm going to read 10 through 13. There's a list of things here that the Lord says are an abomination to him. There shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and become of these. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and become of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Okay, that's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Revelations 21. Revelations 21, there's two places in Revelations, I believe it's in chapter 21 and also in chapter 22, where there is a list of actions, a list of things that will not inherit the holy city, a list of things that those that do such things will be punished for by being cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 8. And the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It speaks of a sorcerer. So what is a sorcerer? Well, a sorcerer is a person who claims or believes to have magical powers, a wizard, or a witch, a magician, an enchanter, or an enchantress. Notice the similarity of those words as in what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 18. God says that these things are an abomination to him. They're a disgust. They're something that God hates. That's what abomination means. Moving on, in our list of things that are areas that are infiltrated with the occult, yoga and karate, especially yoga. Yoga is often incorporated with spiritual practices or disciplines that aim to transform the body and mind through meditation. Clearly a connection with the occult. How about Disney characters? Many of the Disney characters, such as Care Bears, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, they have occult undertones and have video productions that portray occult symbols and spirit beings. Now, here's a quote that I found. It's a statement as to what is behind these Disney productions. And this is the quote. Many productions make deliberate attempts to insert mind control triggers and symbolism. Disneyland and Disney World are also believed to use Peter Pan-related programming, space-populated programming, mind control through the use of costumes, mirror programming, and the castles to send satanic messages. I don't understand all the programming terms there necessarily, but the underlying thing here is that through these productions, they're using them to send satanic messages. And they're filling the minds of people that view them with those kind of things. Let's look at a few definitions of the various words that we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'd like to go back there and just define some of these terms. Deuteronomy 18:10. First one I want to define is an observer. Well, divination, I think we've covered that fairly well. The next one there would be an observer of times. An observer of times was someone who used signs or omens to attempt to foretell the future. In today's terms, we would call that type of person a fortune teller, a psychic, or a palm reader, somebody that's using some kind of method to foretell some kind of supernatural method, the powers of darkness, to foretell the future. The next term is enchanter. Enchanter is a person who uses magic or sorcery, especially to put someone or something under a spell. An enchanter is somebody that casts a spell. Hypnotizing could probably be put in this category. A witch, it's more of a general term. It's a person who practices magic as part of a religion such as Wicca. Charmer. A charmer is a dealer in spells, especially one who, by binding certain knots, is supposed to be able to bind a curse or a blessing on an object, like a long-term effect, I guess. That's what a charmer is. A consulter with familiar spirits. Familiar spirit is a demon that is summoned by a medium being a witch or a wizard that is in contact with the spirit world. But a familiar spirit is a demon that is summoned by a medium with the intention that the spirit summoned will obey his or her commands. Your minds might go to Saul when he went to the witch at Endor and asked for the witch to bring up Samuel. That would be a consulter of familiar spirits. Wizard is a man who has magical powers. A necromancer. What is a necromancer? Necromancer is a person who practices necromancy. Well, what is necromancy? Necromancy is the practice of supposedly communicating with the spirits of the dead in order to predict the future. Note that all these terms here refer to appeals that are made to supernatural powers and to spirit powers to influence the course of events on earth, powers that are beyond the laws of nature or natural events. All of which is clearly stated here as being an abomination to the Lord. It's something the Lord hates. It's something that is a disgust to God. I'd like to now look at several scriptures, and I see my time is fast coming to an end. But I feel we need to look at what the Bible says on this subject. The occult does not include events that are understood to occur by natural law. In other words, physicians may use a drug or some kind of treatment for the healing process. If this can be explained by science, it's not supernatural. It's not involving supernatural power. The scientific law of gravity and Newton's law of motion, or any other law that is used in making equipment or making things work, machines work, to produce a desired result is clearly not part of supernatural powers of darkness. I've heard somebody already give the argument that a computer is something that has supernatural in it. I don't believe that because scientifically, you can explain how a computer works. It can be used as a tool of the devil, but I don't think the item itself operates by supernatural power. Some would tell us that white magic is good, black magic is bad, because white magic is casting a spell on somebody or doing something good in a good way. Black magic is harming people. Notice that the result produced, whether good or bad, or whether it works or it doesn't work, doesn't make it right or wrong. All sorcery and occult practices are wrong because they come from the wrong source. The source of power is what makes them evil, regardless of the intended goal. Let's look at some teachings about supernatural power. I'd like to go to the New Testament, Acts 13, 6 through 12. Acts 13, 6 through 12. This is the story of Emmaus the sorcerer who tried to keep Sergius Paulus from accepting the gospel. Acts 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Emmaus, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Notice how Paul rebuked this sorcerer. And the result was, if we keep reading, the result was blindness. This person became blind. I'd like to just highlight the power of God in this situation and in every situation is greater than that of the devil. Acts 13, verse 10, that's where we just were. Let's go to Exodus. I'd like to look at some verses in Exodus. Exodus 7, you'll recognize this chapter as the plagues that were sent upon Pharaoh and his people. And I want us to notice that at first it says that the magicians were able to do what Moses did with their enchantments. For the sake of time, we probably won't read just a whole lot here, but I'd like to notice, though, in chapter 8, verse 6 and 7, it says like this. It's not verse 6 and 7. Okay, let's start reading at chapter 8, verse 18. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon men and upon beasts. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord hath said. There came a point when the magicians, with their enchantments, could not perform what Moses performed by the power of God. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. I don't think I'll turn there. There's a list of things, works of the flesh, that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And included in this list is witchcraft, includes the occult, refers especially to the use of drugs or potions brewed by witches, talking about witchcraft. God condemns not only the whole practice of the occult, but also the specific methods, rituals, whatever involvement it might be. It's all condemned by God. I'd like to look at a few more Bible accounts here in closing of witches and sorcerers which could not duplicate the miracles God did through inspired men. I'd like to look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. You'll recognize this story as the story where Daniel refused to eat of the king's meat and drink of the wine that the king wanted to serve him. And he rather he ate pulse. And after a period of proving, this is what Nebuchadnezzar found of Daniel. Also in Daniel chapter 2, here again there's a number of verses, but in this story, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he couldn't remember what his dream was. So he calls in his magicians and sorcerers and his wise men, and he says, I had a dream, but I don't know the dream. So tell me the dream and tell me the interpretation. Well, the magicians couldn't do that. They couldn't tell Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and obviously they wouldn't be able to know the interpretation either. So the king was angered about this. He was furious, and he demanded that the wise men be killed. And so Arioch shows up where Daniel is at his place to kill him. And here's what Daniel says. Let's read at 24. I'll break in at 24. It says, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and soothsayers show the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And he proceeds to tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream and the interpretation. I'd like to highlight the fact that Daniel was drawing from a different source of power, that of the power of God. And he highlights that. He makes note of that to the king, that it's not me, but it's God. God can show you the meaning of this, what the dream was, and the interpretation of it. So in closing, I'd like to end on a positive note. First of all, let's not be fooled. No one can dabble in the occult and come away unshackled. It is not harmless games and fun. Occult involvement is disobedience to God's word. Yes, it is true, the devil does have supernatural power. However, everything he does to people, everything he does for people requires a payment. The result of occult involvement causes oppression, depression, confusion, delusion, physical ailments of all sorts. The devil does not give you anything without requiring something of you. Jesus Christ, in contrast, however, offers us this free gift of salvation. There's no fine print, so to speak, with this offer. It's not at the expense of some other area in our lives being brought into bondage. Not that at all. It only takes acceptance of the offer by faith, confessing and repenting of wrong, and then walking with him day by day in newness of life. Romans 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus Christ promises freedom to those that follow him. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." He promises rest. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He promises peace. God promises peace for those that serve him, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He promises satisfaction. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." He promises life. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Secondly, I want to say that there is a way to find answers to life's problems without using divination or in any way becoming entangled with the occult. God wants us to come to him in faith and sincerity and pour out our needs before him. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Asking God for wisdom and direction for questions that we face in life is what God wants us to do. I'm persuaded that God will show us where to dig the well, if that is the question we are faced with. God will show us where he wants you to live if you are faced with that question. Answers to questions we face may come in varied ways. It might be revealed by God through the moving of doors, opening doors, and preparing circumstances in such a manner that it becomes evident what God's will is for us. The answer might be, "Wait, and in my own time I will show you what my answer is to your question." Sometimes, putting the fleece before the Lord reveals his will, such as maybe putting a property up for sale and letting the Lord dictate the outcome. Lastly, I'd like to mention that if the Spirit speaks to you about a certain area of a possible inroad for the devil and his powers of darkness, mind the Spirit. Make that change. Maybe he's asking you to get rid of a book or a particular object that is questionable. I encourage you, don't hold back. Allow the Spirit free course in your life. And be willing to renounce those things in the name of Jesus. Maybe it's something you had or something you did in ignorance. You were ignorant of what it really stood for. Don't be afraid to renounce it in the name of Jesus. If you feel the need of counsel from the Brotherhood on an issue, make your need known. One thing I am assured of, and that is there is victory in Jesus. The power of Christ is greater than the powers of evil. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's kneel for prayer.